Big Cap right now, though, a.k.a. C-Dub, a.k.a. Rudolph Henny, p.k.a. Babyface Mirabella, all right? And when I'm not sitting back enjoying a tall glass of Old Duels, I'm in South Korea listening to the late vibe with Pinnacle the Hustler and Elliot Ashby. You heard? And who me? I'm just a part-time white Michael Jordan, Axl Rose from the grave, the YOLO petitioner, the president of the Synesthesia Fan Club, the addiction spokesman, Dog the Bounty Quicker Picker Upper, and I'm most commonly known as Peter Mirabella, the Megahertz founder, ODOT representative, okay? And let me tell you something about the night vibe, man. The show is so bad, Godzilla hears it and turns the other way, okay? Not bad, meaning bad, but bad, meaning good. He doesn't stand a chance, man. Stomped him out like roaches, right, Pinnacle? You know it. Right, Elliot?
Yeah!
Exactly. So, yo, keep your station locked, and,
And that DJ made my day.
Good night, good night.
Oh, yes, ladies and gentlemen, it's going down. We got a wake-up call, and I think we're playing a song first, and then we're going to call him?
Yeah.
Okay, we haven't called him yet. So we got Sho Baraka. We're going to talk to him about his newest project, The Talented 10th. The next song is called Denzel, but I think it could have been called Elliot. You know what I mean?
Because no,
I think I represent what Denzel was trying to represent. Because he's older. You know, people need a face that they can relate to. You know what I'm saying? My face.
Ladies and gentlemen, next up we have Sho Baraka featuring Shantae Can. The name of the song is Denzel.
Elliot.
Shut up.
Elliot.
Trying to be a godly example for these children. While I'm here, I like to thank my pops who taught me faith before he passed away. Can we get a round of applause for gentlemen, please? Trying to put an end to swag, cause we are G's. To my father's on their homework, cause class don't end. Ain't that the worst of some lazy and passive men? To my wife, Mia Moore, Sade on Pandora. Mumbling the verse, cause I only know the chorus. Civil rights defender, got service on the agenda. Step outside, feeling like a day for suspenders.
I'm talking to the man right, outer man fresh. Boys got swag, we ain't too impressed. Prince coming dope, but real men gon' laugh. We been graduated, but we still got class.
We got class, let them boys have swag. We got class, let them boys have swag. We got class, let them boys have swag. We got class, we got class. Hands in the air if you like them girls who ain't on TV, cause they got more
class than the models.
Well, shout out to the smart girls in college, starving artists and Bible freaks, whatever they want to call us. We got class that you can't cash, and got a ring that you can't smash. Please, boom, don't ask. I'm on a mission to be a mogul. Business is mobile, and I got unlimited text. I'm sending his message global, making fishers of men. Go check my net worth. Baby, I'm talking red cheese till your neck hurt. And I ain't talking red bottoms, I ain't talking bags. I'm talking pure-hearted, inner beauty, got class. I'm talking modesty, honestly. She's still bad, cause she don't think she's sexy, cause she's showing her ass. Me no questions, I tell you no lies. I'm just giving you life, you can like it or not.
I'm talking to the man right, outer man fresh. The boys got swag, we ain't too impressed. Prince coming dope, but real men gon' laugh. We been graduated, but we still got class.
We got class, let them boys have swag. We got class,
class, let them boys have swag. We got class, let them boys have swag. We got class, we got class. Okay, having class is that one night stand that took place after that bride and groom dance. He put a ring on it, go and get intimate. Yeah, songs are Solomon, no censorship. Young boys be sagging in the mall. How they supposed to be winning? All I see is they draws. I'm in that grateful apparel, that bare fruit logo. Yeah, you get in school, but I'm still in my play clothes. Spelt already, but not yet. Supporter calls and stay fresh. I'm with the same check. My society where everything is high, where class will survive and swag goes to die.
Oh, yes, ladies and gentlemen, you are in the wake-up call right now. We're going to call Show Baraka and wake him up. So, is he already on the line?
Yes, I am. You've already woke me up.
You've already been woke?
You've been awakened,
yes,
sir.
Oh, okay. Maybe you should hang up and we'll call him again and wake him up.
That's terrible. Why would you even want to do that?
I don't know.
You're trying to get on his brother's good terms. So
I am. But listen, he named the song Denzel when he could have called it Elliot.
He doesn't even know you.
I know. He should.
Why are we talking to each other and not him? Show Baraka, what's going on, bro? How you doing, man?
What's going on, fellas?
Chilling. Hey, what do people call you for short? Do they just come up and be like, what up, Show? What up,
yep,
Baraka?
That's it. My full name is actually a Me Show. And so I've just been called Show all my life, pretty much.
For real?
My middle name is Baraka.
Man, I was looking at your Twitter, and I was like, oh, his Twitter name is Am I Show Baraka. Like, you don't know who you are?
Sometimes I get a little confused, man. Never know.
But that's actually your name, Amisha.
Yep. And so I tried to be a little clever with it, like with the Am I Show.
Got it.
But that is how you spell my name. My middle name is Baraka, so I just cut it short to Show Baraka.
Okay, that's pretty cool, man. You made me think of old boy on Mortal Kombat, chopping off heads and stuff. for real. Hey, you should make a song called Mortal Kombat and be like, yeah, I'm chopping rappers' heads off.
That would be dope.
Was good. You know, and you need
there you go.
And you need to put Elliot on the chorus.
See, we could feature. We could, you know, like do the chorus. But to all of our listeners that are tuning in right now, you may not know who Show Baraka is. So can you do me the honor, sir, of introducing yourself?
Yes, sir. Mixed with a little bit of humility and awesome, I am Show Baraka. And I was born in Canada, grew up in California on the great west coast of the United States, and man, fell in love with Jesus when I was about 19 years old in college. And ever since then, tried to, you know, do music that kind of reflect my belief system, but also represent in, like, you know, good hip-hop, you know what I'm saying? So that's why you get a good mix of good hip-hop with spirituality when you mess with me. So.
That's what's up. Now, we got to ask, just as we do with anybody that does hip-hop on our show, Show Baraka, how did you fall in love with hip-hop? Where were you? What was going on? Like, what was it that sparked your interest?
I have two older brothers, and one of them is about 6 years older than me. So, man, like, I can remember in the late 80s just coming home, and he'd be watching, like, Yo MTV Raps, and, like, all kind of just crazy hip-hop. And I just loved it. I was just like, man, this is dope. Like, these dudes on here killing it. So you would emulate everything, like, from the backwards In-N-Out clothes, from Crisscross ABC to the Adidas with the fat laces, to, you know, Kangos. And so I remember doing talent shows in elementary school. My older brothers just being like the little secret weapon that popped out at the end. Everybody go crazy. So I've always loved hip hop, man. It's like I've never known a time when I didn't love kind of like this culture and the music. So, it started real, real young for me. And it's just as I grew older, I just kind of just adapted my own personality instead of, like, loving the music my brothers loved. I kind of started seeing, like, oh, I like this artist because of this reason, or I like that artist. Mm. And it just kind of just grew and grew, man. Even to this day, I still love hip-hop. I try to stay afloat with what's going on. And you know, I still listen to dope artists. Some of my favorite guys are, like, Lupe and kind of like Kanye if he stopped tripping. But
right.
But, yeah, you know what I mean? So I just... Yeah, man, I'm a huge hip hop fan.
Okay, that's what's up. Another question I want to ask: you said you fell in love with Jesus at 19. I'm interested to know what sparked that change in your life as well.
Yeah, man, I think, like, you know, for those who have somewhat of a deep affection for the Lord, I think at some point you realize, like, everything that I love before, or all the way that I live, I have to start to filter it through this new understanding of who Jesus is and how I live. And so for me, it kind of changed the way I did music, because I was rapping back then in college. I didn't have, like, anything serious going. It was just a bunch of crew of dudes who were just broke trying to rap and battle on campus.
Right.
But I started to change the way that I saw music. I saw how I affected my friends and the young ladies that I had encounters with, and like my whole perspective was changing. And so I saw, man, not only can I still do music and I still be this individual who loves hip hop, but I have to change my affections slightly, and I have to submit all these things to the Lord and still be great at what I want to do and excel, but, you know, just try to change it a little bit so that it's glorifying Him.
Okay. Is that a difficult task to do, in order, you know, to regulate your music and align it with your religious beliefs?
Nah, I don't think it's hard at all. I think what's hard is sometimes succumbing to the pressure of other people and what they expect your music to sound like. You know what I mean?
Right.
So for years I felt like I had to preach like or be like a pastor on wax, you know what I mean? And I think I did that because I saw so many before me do that.
Yeah.
But then recently, in recent years, one of the things I've just realized is that I don't have to have this Jesus per minute like count in my music. As long as I'm communicating things that I feel like are not displeasing to Him, and communicating stuff that I feel like is going to change folks and encourage people, and when they walk away from my album, they know who I am.
Right.
That's no question about it. But ultimately, I just don't want them to know who I am. I want them to ask questions. I want them to be challenged. I want them to spark some dialogue. And for me, that stuff is easy, being able to communicate who I am, because it is me. You know what I mean? I'm not faking anything.
Right.
You know what I mean? And I think a lot of times when you become inauthentic, when you're trying to be something you're not, is where people expose you, and they realize, and I think people can smell a fraud. You know
right,
what I mean?
Right.
For me, I just don't try to be something I'm not. I'm just like, man, this is me. I love the faith. I'm an African American, you know what I mean? I love hip hop. I love my wife. I love my kids.
Mm.
I struggle on a daily basis with different things, and so these are the things that I'm gonna talk about. You know what I mean?
Cool. That's definitely what I took away from the last album. You was gonna cut in?
I just wanted to ask. Like, so Jesus isn't like paying you a certain fee to like say His name ever so often in the songs?
Nah, it's not like He needs His like royalties or like honorarium every time I spark His name.
Okay,
know?
I was just wondering. Like, so. I was just wondering.
I thought that's why Kanye did the song, so he'd get the royalties. No.
He said he thought it was gonna hurt his sales, but you know, I think it actually helped a little bit.
Speaking of sales. Congratulations on the success of the new album.
Yeah, man.
I got it as soon as it came out in January. I wanted to check it out. It debuted, I believe, at number 94 on the Billboard Top 200. I think
it was like number 2, actually.
It was number 2?
Yeah, number 2 on overall Billboard. But
overall,
don't worry about
Billboard.
That right now. You can check the stats later.
That's what's up. Number 3, iTunes at one point. Okay.
I'm just playing with
y'all. All right. He's at number 2. I'm going to check them stats.
I was really confused, too, because I was like, wait a minute. I was like, wait.
What do you say? Humility mixed with
awesome.
Awesome. See, you deceiving right now. Deceiving people. I'm over here trying to be prepared for this interview.
Show Baraka is alive.
All right, well, check this out. We know what the numbers say, but I want to know, what is the best and the worst feedback that you received about the album thus far?
Some of the best that I can remember off the top of my head is like, I mean, you get an overwhelming amount of people who are like, man, this is refreshing. Like, we need this in the game. Like, nobody's doing this, that kind of stuff. But some of the stuff that hit me the hardest is, like, people who will say stuff like, man, I haven't been this excited for an album since, like, Kanye's late registration, or like, you know, stuff like that, where it's just like, dag, like, not only are Christians vibing to it, but people who, like, love hip-hop and people who, you know, recognize real good music. And so people who are saying, like, some of the truth in the music has been challenging them. Like, some of my white brothers and sisters who are like, man, I've never been exposed to such great awareness of blackness that is done well and, like, with a healthy balance. So that kind of stuff, man. But, you know, negative stuff, people have said that they could tell from my album that my marriage is terrible because of the language I use and stuff. Like, it's like, I'm like, what? Like, people have said that that they don't think I love the Lord or I'm a part of the Illuminati. And,
real?
It's crazy stuff. Like, I think a lot of times people just, if they don't know what to do with you, they just put you in the Illuminati. You're the Illuminati.
Right. Somebody said that. I'm serious about this. Somebody said this to me about a month ago.
Yeah.
They was like, "You a part of Illuminati, ain't you? Your name is Pinnacle. I know what that means." I was like, "Man, you don't get out of my face."
I'm like, "Shoot, if I'm a part of the Illuminati, my bank account ain't showing it."
Right. Yeah. Right. Oh, go on. Well, let's go ahead and go into another song. We just heard the song Denzel. We got another song called Peter Pan. Show Baraka. What is Peter Pan about?
So Peter Pan is obviously a fictional character
right. That
he never wants to grow up. It's kind of like this, what I call extended adolescence. And I think hip-hop is falling in love with this idea of extended adolescence, like hip-hop artists who never grow up. And then because hip-hop artists never grow up, a lot of times the fan base never grows up.
Yeah.
We always talk about the same old. Cats are 30 and 40 years old, still talking about, you know, the same old childish stuff. And so it's just a story of me walking through, falling in love with an artist, but then years later, I realized this dude is just talking about the same old.
We're going to talk about exactly who that is, and I got some more questions about it. But up next, we got Show Baraka, Chapter 10, Peter Pan.
Hello. Hey, yo, man, you don't need no beatbox. I just got to turn on the cipher going. Hello.
Who first?
Like, nah, man, don't beatbox. Every time you beatbox, you got something to say.
It's the Inland Empire, mid-90s. I'm close to a cipher, it ain't hard to find me. Kids claiming they freestyling, but they just reciting lines, especially this new dog wanna be beside me. On a normal Tuesday, I'm walking down the block. I heard a song from a truck that made my body stop. I'm like, that ain't Pop, that ain't Big, that ain't Nas. I gotta figure out who this is, yeah. It got me picking up the phone, calling the homies at home, like, have you heard this song? It went,
you got money, get your hands in the air.
Oh snap, he on Rap City now with Joe Claire. Boy, it was dope, like a breath of fresh air when he told a story. I felt like I was right there. I asked Pops for 10 bucks. He's like, boy, that's nonsense. I don't work hard to buy you explicit content.
Damn.
I'm kind of scared to go to the store and steal it, though. You know a brother broke, so I just dug it from the radio. But the homie came through the next night with an album that became the soundtrack of my life.
Yesterday I fell in love.
Yesterday it was beautiful.
You know what I mean? We want that real hip hop. That real hip hop. We want that real hip hop. That real hip hop. We want that real hip hop. That real hip hop. Everybody make noise for that real hip hop.
I'm a little older, I'm in college now. And you know my favorite artist still holding down. Anytime we argue, best rappers alive. He's easily number one in my top five. The more I steal a style, I feel credibility. Cause every college student just wants an identity. If he's describing his life well, that's how I act. If he has an opinion where I don't, then insert that. But now insert the Lord, I'm changed now. Because I have different views, I find myself even caring about stuff on the news. My heart aches with these current affairs, it's harder to enjoy.
You got money, get your hands in the air.
The
more I listen, the more I feel a mental battle. I recognize that his worldview is really shallow. His lexicon is money, sex, and cars. That's all we get. He kills on records, then he says it's entertainment really quick. That's pretty dangerous when you break it down. Plus, I notice even his music has the same sound. It's not much depth to his content and art. Me and my favorite artists are now growing apart. Dang.
Yesterday,
it was beautiful.
We want that real hip hop, that real hip hop. We want that real hip hop, that real hip hop. We want that real hip hop, that real hip hop. Everybody make noise for that real hip hop.
Now I'm a grown man with new burdens to bear, and this dude's still rapping about.
You got money, get your hands in the air.
Bro, get out of here with that mess. There's a million other things that you can't address. This cat is close to 40 and he's still. Well, at least that's the perception that he gives in public. I mean, I enjoy life like the next brother, but it seems he ain't growing up with the rest of us. Sometimes I just wanna know the truth about who's copying who, cause instead of reaching him, I think he'd rather be the youth. I wouldn't trip, but this is more than just a trend, cause his music and his brand promotes irresponsible men, cause they never had a father who could walk them through the content, teaching them the skill to discern all of the nonsense. They need extended adolescence so they can blow up. Hip hop, you're close to 50, when can we grow up?
Yesterday I fell in love. Yesterday I'm
still acting like he's 21.
Tomorrow I've had
enough. Like he'll never rap.
We want that real hip hop, that real hip hop. We want that real hip hop, that real hip hop. We want that real hip hop, that real hip hop. Everybody make noise for that real hip hop.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, we have an exclusive interview with Sho Baraka right now. Sho, are you there?
Yo.
Yo, I just had something in my throat. Are you still there?
Uh-huh.
Okay, cool. We just got done listening to this song, Peter Pan, and I had a lot of questions about the song. You reference a particular MC, and you said later as you grew up, you realized there's not much depth in his content and art. Me and my favorite rapper have now grown apart. Me and Pinnacle, we've been going back and forth trying to figure out, who are you talking about?
You're talking about me, ain't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, I'm not really talking about one particular artist. I'm just talking about hip-hop in general. But I do have some artists that I feel like match that particular criteria, but it's not like I wrote that song with one particular artist in mind. I really wrote about it like thinking like, here are a group of MCs that I admire and respected. And I would think 20 years later that they would have grown up by now. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So it's kind of like that. Like I just feel like hip hop as a whole is like cats just don't grow up.
Mm.
Can you
and
give
that's
us?
That's why at the end of the song I say hip hop, we're close to 50. When can we grow up?
That's what I figured. I took away that you were just talking about.
No, you didn't. Hip-hop. You said he was talking about.
I didn't say
that's
that.
Not what you said the first time.
What did I say?
I can't remember what artist you said, but you're like, yo, I think he's talking. Oh, you said 50 Cent. I think that's what you said.
Oh, no, no. I said 50 Cent fits that mold.
Whatever.
No, seriously.
Now you're trying to be all intellectual.
Man,
whatever.
You, shut up.
Just
anyway. Cause
just because we're doing on the phone.
Anyway, show. This is the conversation. We was basically trying to go back and forth. I felt like it was a general statement and that there are some rappers that fit that mold.
I want to know.
One of them is 50 Cent.
Who else he thinks fits the category?
Well, growing up, man, my favorite artist has kind of always been Common. And Common has always kind of, like, blown me away with his content and with his, like, his awareness of culture. I felt like this last album was simply an appeal to try to, like, sustain relevance.
Stay relevant, yeah.
And I felt like he kind of, like, I know a lot of cats who've been rocking with Common for the last years felt like, yo, this album wasn't for us. It wasn't for the people who've been loyal with you.
Yeah.
From Resurrection all the way, like, Can I Borrow a Dollar to B to, you know, and so it's To Find It Forever. And so, like, we even stuck to the bad albums, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, you know what I'm saying? And so for him to be, like, you, like, calling women certain names on the album and then, like, beefing with folks on the album, acting like he beating folks up on the album. And it's kind of like,
What are you doing,
sir? Like that. Like, that's not that common. We know. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I mean, maybe you've changed. I don't know. Like, I guess you got to give artists room to change. But, you know, I think the issue is also just hip-hop in general doesn't leave space for people to grow up. Like, I mean, the reality is there's people in their 50s now who kind of grew up with hip-hop culture. And I think the problem is a lot of us, even in our 20s and 30s, like, we feel like, man, I want to start hearing about different stuff. Like,
yeah.
As I grow up, as I get older, and I have kids, and I start care, and I care about my neighborhood, I want to hear you rap about your children. I want to hear you rap about your marriage. I want to hear you rap about, you know, relationships and, you know, work and things like that. Instead of you just rapping about being in the club, slapping booty all day, it's like.
I mean, but don't get it twisted.
First song we played, what was it called? The first song we played was called "Smack It with a Stack." So it's just kind of relevant to what you just said.
But we've progressed from "Smack It with a Stack" all the way up to Peter Pan.
We have, but then we're gonna go back to. Wait a second, I'm looking at the playlist. She likes. Oh, we got 2 Chainz. Okay. Anyway, I want to go back to the song.
2 Chainz is like 78.
Two
right?
Chainz. Yeah, he's 2 Chainz is 42.
That dude went to college. He went to Tuskegee University like some years before I got there, but I know people who know him who went to school. It's crazy. I had no idea. The funny thing is I went to school I didn't go to school with him, but he went to Tuskegee, and then years later when I got there, I went to school with Rich Boy. I don't know if you remember Rich Boy. Throw some D's on it?
Yeah.
I used to borrow that dude's equipment with my homeboy.
Wow, that's crazy.
So all these dudes who be acting like they thugs and stuff, like, jokers went to college.
Right.
That brings me back to the song Denzel, where you were basically contrasting swag versus class. I hate the word swag, and I'm waiting for it to die out. But how would you characterize the difference between the two?
Swag, I think swag is childish, man. I think, although to some degree, like, you know, you see somebody who has what you call swag, you like, oh, man, you know, kind of got his little ensemble together, or, you know, carrying himself in a cool way. But after a while, you know, I think swag actually graduates to class. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
It's like swag is junior high and high school, and class is college and adult life. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So I don't mind little kids and children and high school students running around talking about swag, swag this, swag that. But at some point in life, I think you need to graduate to class. And I don't think class is just how you look. I think it's how you carry yourself.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's how you treat people. I think it's how you acknowledge and you see the world. It's like a self-awareness of your responsibility to this earth, you know what I mean, and to your surrounding individuals.
Absolutely. I'm looking at the time right now. It looks like the clock is winding down. You got two options. You can rock with us for a little bit more on the other side of this break, or we can ask the last question.
I can rock a little bit more.
All right.
Bet. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are right now in the middle of an exclusive interview with Show Baraka.
Exclusive.
We're going to take a real short commercial break because, you know, we got light bills and, you know, all that. We got a water bill and all that.
True.
We got to pay that. You know what I'm saying? We'll be right back on Night Vibe.
Chris, and you tuned into the hottest radio show in South Korea. This is Night Vibe with Pinnacle the Hustler and Elliot Ashby, Entrepreneurs.
We're back in the mix with Show Baraka, and we're about to wrap up our interview. We still have a few questions left. We know we woke him up early in the morning. What time is it over there right now?
It's really not that early. It's about 9:30, I think.
That's early for me. But see, then again, we work to midnight.
You need to get your life right.
I don't need to get my life.
White man's day is halfway over at 9:30.
Yo, I work until... Anyway. This Joker, seriously.
I'm trying to figure out how y'all got to South Korea. Like, that's
just, it's this thing. These things called planes. They're really cool.
Yep.
You gotta get on.
Yeah, that's hilarious. You know what's funny? Every single time we interview somebody, when Nick Cannon was here, he was just like, we were like, "What are you doing here?" He's like, "What are you doing here?" We're like, "Good
that's
question."
That's a good question, there, sir.
What are we doing here?
Yeah,
we're doing radio. How did you get here?
Basically, wait. Aren't we supposed to be asking? Don't be asking us questions.
Hey, buddy.
Huh?
You're being interviewed.
Who do you think
okay?
you are, sir?
Okay.
Who do you think you are?
It's not your show.
Asking it. Shut up.
Hey, I'm just observing, brothers. I'm just trying to figure out. Because you never know. I may want to try to get to South Korea. You know what I mean?
All that is, we out here.
Yeah, man. We definitely got contacts. But, I mean, long story short.
I'm trying to get to North Korea. You know what I mean?
You don't want to do that.
You and Dennis Rodman both, right? You heard Dennis Rodman's out there putting in work.
Dennis Rodman trying to be the new sovereign heir of North Korea and everything. Let me stop before we get shot.
Yeah, before we get in trouble.
Right.
Yeah, you've been doing a lot of traveling. I think when I first contacted you guys to set up an interview, you were in Brazil. Is that right?
Yeah, I was in Brazil for a couple weeks, or a week, better yet.
All right, so were you doing shows out there? Has your travel schedule been very busy since releasing the album?
Yeah, it's been pretty active, man. I was in there. I did one festival in Brazil. I mean, I've done some shows here and there. I just got back from some joints I did in Pennsylvania, like in Philly and another city out in Pennsylvania. So, I mean, it's crazy. I was supposed to do South by Southwest next week in Dallas back-to-back. So, I got a show in Houston this weekend.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. Let me ask you a question. You have a wife and kids, right?
I do.
How are you able to manage such a rigorous touring schedule and still fulfill your roles that you have to within the familial environment?
Right, yeah. So I think it's just, man, it's about prioritizing, ultimately. It's like what's important to you, you know what I mean? I believe, like, once all this is done, the reality, when I say this, I mean, like, music. And once people stop shouting my name, once people stop buying my music, the reality is I'm still going to have a wife and kids. And they're the ones who, you know, stick by me. I feel like one of the things that as African-American community we need to see more of is positive male role models and healthy fathers and families. And so for me, you know, my responsibility as a young man is to help raise wonderful children, you know what I'm saying, and show that I have a healthy marriage for my community, because I know what it was like to grow up in a broken home and struggle through relationships because I didn't have a father around at some points in my life, because my father came back in my later years, but didn't help, you know, help me walk through a relationship to treat a woman properly, you know what I mean? And so for me, man, it's just about being around. Like, if I know I don't have to do a show, I don't do it. You know what I mean? But I got to pay the bills just like y'all got to pay bills. And so,
right.
If they don't move their feet, then I don't eat. So we like neck to neck.
You know? I love that song.
Man, that's what's up.
Yo, on the album, each chapter is named after either like a place, a real person, or a fictional character. If in 10 years, after you put down the mic, whenever that is, if someone made a song called Show Baraka, what idea would you like that to represent?
Ah, man, that's dope. That's a dope question. In 10 years, I would hope by then I would have been an established, the best way to describe it is an activist, a person who, you know, because one of the reasons why I travel the world and I go to Brazil's and I go to South Africa's and Indonesia's is not just to rap, man. I really want to get involved in the culture, meet people, see how people live, you know, pray for them, build with them, establish relationships, and learn myself. And I fight for the marginalized. I fight for the disenfranchised. I try to write my music to help enlighten people. And so hopefully 10 years from now, if somebody's to write a song, it would be about kind of like somebody who is aware of this world and wanting to make a difference and change it for the better, you know what I mean? And so that's kind of like my passion, man, and I would hope that to some degree that would be the legacy I leave, you know, that because of my affection and my love for the Lord, that I laid my life down for others because I've seen that in what he did for me, you know what I mean? and I recognize that, man, people need help. You know what I'm saying? And so I didn't just live this life to be famous and to achieve stuff. I live it to be a servant.
And that sounds like the theme of the album, being exceptional for the benefit of others. We're going to close up on one last song, Cliff and Claire. Can you introduce the song before we play it?
Cliff and Claire, produced by my man Swoop, featuring my man Christian Gray and Dope Dudes, man, awesome brothers. Song just about relationship. It is, you know, the infamous Cliff and Claire Huxtable. Favorite show. So first of all, let somebody need to bring back the Cosby Show 2.0
yes.
or something.
Yeah, totally. We need some more of that
we
positive representation.
Right now,
yeah, man.
So this song's about relationship. It goes from the point where a couple meets to the point where they're struggling in a marriage and a relationship. And I just kind of paint this picture of a marriage that is once happy, that gets one at one point depressing, but then giving counsel at the end to help them guide through.
Okay, I just want to be clear. You said we need to bring back the Cosbys. You're in Atlanta right now. Are you telling me that you don't think the Real Housewives of Atlanta depict wholesome families?
Because, I mean, clearly they do. Okay?
I mean,
I'm lost.
Other than them, I feel like we need more.
Okay. Thank you.
That joint is terrible. I probably watched like all of 2 minutes of that stuff.
He said,
man,
all of
then,
2 minutes.
All of 2 minutes. I don't know, man. I hate to be that dude who's very critical, because the reality of it is it creates jobs for people, and I think people need to work.
Yeah.
It's a revenue builder, but man, like it's nonsense, dog. Some of this stuff is just nonsense.
I agree.
We got to keep them in prayer. Let's go ahead and play that song. We thank you very much for your time,
and
keep us in loop with your music, especially if you're doing some traveling. Keep us posted.
No doubt.
Y'all need to bring me out to South Korea, do a concert or something, son. What's up?
Let me know.
I'm letting you know right now. That's what
okay,
I'm doing.
We got to talk numbers. You got to hit me up in the email. Talk some numbers. You know what I'm saying? Because I'm trying to make some bread, trying to make some paper.
Man, I'm done.
Hey, brother, I ain't mad at you. We all trying to make some money at the end of the day.
All right, well, let's work that out, man. Most definitely.
All right, man.
I meant like real bread, like bagels and stuff. I really like bread.
Oh, me too. I like, you know, I get down with some, you know, some sandwiches. And stuff.
Hey, one of my homegirls out here make a mean French toast, dog. I mean, mean. I'm just saying.
Our producer's looking at us like, you better play some music.
All right, man. Thanks for rocking with us, bro.
Y'all
we appreciate
good.
It. All right, be blessed.
Nah, no doubt. Be good, folks.
All right, peace. Ladies and gentlemen, we just got finished with our Show Baraka interview. Next up, we got Show Baraka featuring Kristen Gray. The name of the song is Chapter 11,
Cliff and Claire.
We'll be back.
She say she ain't looking for a man, but we know she really is. Praying, making a list of things a husband needs to fit. A fit 10 who loves the Lord. She won't settle for no 6. Oh, well, let me introduce you to a 6 named Cliff. He ain't Adonis, but then again, Claire ain't even a goddess. $1 million smile with some $50 pockets. He got a killer charm and he been walking with the Lord. They get introduced and then they have a couple dates. And after months of being fake, I guess they get sick of the chase. After counseling growth, Cliff goes shopping for a ring. Spits a little game at her like, won't you be my queen? She wants a big wedding, which means spending big bucks. He's thinking of future expenses. He wants to save up. Mom told her be submissive, baby, don't be contentious. Be quick to listen, baby girl, your words can be vicious. Father told him never stop dating your wife. The honeymoon is one night, she needs good sex her whole life. What God has put together, let no man tear apart. They have their whole life in front of them, and this is just the start.
Oh, wherever you came from, give my regards. Somebody made a work of art, and I just think it's so bizarre that I'm in the picture. Sober, better, or for worse, I'm seeking the Lord. And sometimes it's back to the drawing board, but I won't give up till I'm sure.
Okay, chapter 2, Cliff and Claire have a new situation. New child, new career, they need new patience. It's a different place in life cause it's a different marriage. They need new expectations now that they become parents. Cliff wants the wife with the shape of his wedding date. Claire wants my help with the child and a more serving mate. Well, since he ain't getting sex and she ain't getting served, they both do small things to work each other's nerves. Because of debt and school loans and the house they own, he keeping up with the Joneses. This brother's never home. The things that caught her eye, she used to like, well, she don't like no more. The jokes that came out of his mouth, well, now she hopes he keeps it closed. So when he works, he flirts, and he gets attention from the boss's assistant. This is causing some tension. She complains so much, man, he really starts to hate it. Her words are cutting him deep, so he feels emasculated. This makes Cliff very passive, but also quite aggressive. They both are stressing, cause their marriage is depressing. They've given up on the portrait, it's back to the drawing board. They need the right frame of reference so they can paint some more.
Wherever you came from, give my regards. Somebody made a work of art, and I just think it's so bizarre that I'm in the picture. Sober, better, or for worse, I'm seeking the Lord. And sometimes it's back to the drawing board, but I won't give up till I'm sure it's a perfect picture.
Okay, chapter 3. After seeing that the selfish ways were really only hurting, they ain't perfect, but the couple is working with counsel, seeing Jesus and other couples as the model. Dying to serve each other is the paintbrush to follow. Who would think to love somebody as bad as us? Love ain't love unless it could be taken advantage of. Love's a commitment at my expense for your benefit. It's a call to action even when the server ain't feeling it. I think they know now. They've learned to surround themselves with other married couples and lay aside the crown. Cliff learned how to cheat his job and not cheat his wife, changing his expectations and prioritize his life. Claire learned that small things can cause great fights. She's trying to serve in spite of and not serve in spite. If anything, we can model our great hero. Always give 100% and expect zero.
Yes, this is Tony, Tony, Tone on the microphone. We just got done listening to an interview with a man named Barack Obama.
I knew you were going to say that.
Was his name Barack Obama?
No, that wasn't it.
What was the boy's name?
First of all, stop calling him boy, man.
Hey,
he's a grown
if you're
man.
Younger than me, you're a boy.
Oh,
okay?
My goodness.
When you get to 74, you come talk to me, okay? Exactly. Silence. So anyway, in that song, in one of his songs, he talked about extended adolescence. These rappers, they're getting old and they still rapping like they're young. It reminds me of a boy named Titty Boy who changed his name to 2 Chainz, and he's featured in the next song by Chrisette Michelle. The name of that song is Charades, but he needs to grow up and quit playing them games. Charades is up next. Chrisette Michelle featuring 2 Chainz.
Previously known as
Titty Boy.
Yeah.
I try to give her everything she can handle. I like a girl that wear boy shorts for pajamas.
Maybe it's me.
I'm so cold, I think I can melt candles. And while you sitting on the